Blog Talk Radio.
County, Taiwan, specifically the Buddhist nuns and the Chushan district Special thanks for them opening the show with a little burial rite for the late great. Well, I'm calling it a burial rite for the late great MCA, but of course I think that funeral was actually for somebody else. That's what we do here at the Draconia Vampire Tunnel, which is close to repairs. I'm your host, DJ Frankie Flash Metro, and yes, we do steal funerals here. So big shout out to residents Chushan, Nantou County, Taiwan. This bell sucks. We've got some great stuff on the show tonight, actually. As I mentioned, this is a tribute show to the late, great MCA, Mr. Adam Yauch of the Beastie Boys, who recently died. Man, it's put a really, really stuck me hard because I remember growing up in Phillips Lane Bowling Alley in central Kentucky and playing pool and always listening to the Beastie Boys whenever I was playing pool. Specifically Intergalactic, which was like probably the most overplayed song of theirs. And thankfully that won't be played here tonight. We do have some other stuff though by them, so please stay tuned for that. We also have Simma Rip. Looks like we got Al Reed, Lee Scratch Perry, Little Dragon, of course, returning, Daniel Johnston, and more. So great stuff coming on the Draconian Vampire Tunnel, as always. I do see that we have an 805 area code on the line, so I do appreciate your patience, 805, while you hang out for a moment. We'll jump right into our first track. I'm going to show a little gratitude to you, 805. I'm going to play Beastie Boys. This is actually from their 2009 release. I believe that was The Right Move. I don't know what the name of it is. It's a 2009 album. The song is called Gratitude. You guys are listening to Draconian Vampire Tunnel. It's close to repairs. Number to call in, of course, is 805-856-2808.
Dad, that fucking sucks. And then he started talking about roller coasters at Cliffs Amusement Park. Dad, will you take me there when you get paid? when you get some money? Shortly thereafter, the man stood up and held onto a pole with his good arm. When the driver hit the brakes, the man flung himself, or the bus flung him, I'm not sure which, but it was quite dramatic. The boy screamed, "Help! Stop! My dad's hurt!" For a few moments, as I was held hostage while the driver called in to report the emergency, I was quite pissed off, held hostage with a bunch of toothless meth heads. I hadn't eaten anything. My blood sugar was low. Like a heartless bitch, I nearly screamed, "Let me off this motherfucking bus! I got a bigger emergency. Call the breakfast burrito at the Frontier."
All right, that was Beastie Boys with Gratitude. All the right moves on that. And, of course, I am a huge fan of the electric organ, so you probably will be hearing a little bit more of that later on in the evening. And I think we're going to bring in area code 805. And I am going to say, I'm going to put it out there, there have been reports that there might be some flamingos floating around here. So I'm hoping this is one of them. This might not be them. This might actually be a huge vulva. Or a Volvo. I'm not sure which. We're going to find out. Area code 805, you are live.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, am I on the air?
You are on the air. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, man. This is a flamingo.
It is a flamingo.
I have flown into your show.
You're a flamingo that has accidentally flown into a draconian vampire tunnel.
Yeah, what the fuck am I doing here?
Man, I think it's maybe it has something to do with crosswinds or something, maybe.
You know, I think it has something to do with MCA, man. I'm fucking crushed. I'm fucking crushed by his death, man, for real.
Yeah,
like, I grew up listening to the Beastie Boys. I've listened to them, like, ever since I can remember. License to Ill was one of the first tapes, like, back when we had fucking tapes, before CDs even. Like, I was listening to back in the 80s when I was a little kid. And, like, I just fucking, like, love their music and just, like, what they're all about. They're just the funkiest motherfuckers. Yeah, even today I was listening to Check Your Head on my iPod.
Cool.
Like, I fucking love those guys, man. So I was just so crushed by his death. And, you know, he's not even that old. I mean, 47, shit, man, that's not that fucking old, you know?
And
I
it's
mean,
like,
to
be
out,
honest,
like,
you, dude, I didn't even know he had cancer. Like, that was complete news to me, like, when I heard it. It's just completely shocking to me, so.
Yeah, me neither. I just heard about it recently, like, a couple weeks ago with their Hall of Fame induction to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Like, I heard that he wasn't there and they weren't there because he had cancer and he was recovering. That's the only thing I'd ever heard about it. And I had no idea he was sick otherwise. And then just like a couple weeks later, it came out that he's dead. It's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
For real, what the fuck, dude? It's just it's just terrible.
It is, man.
Terrible.
It's fucking heartbreaking, but that's what we're here to do. You mentioned Check Your Head, and I do actually have a little selection for that later on in the evening, so glad you brought that up. But tonight, that's what it's all about. We're going to throw this draconian vampire tunnel into a vortex where it just lands up in Adam Yock's lap, and we're going to experience what kind of ephemeral sort of stardust we can get right off of him. So that's the way we're going to do things. You know what? We actually, Nuamba, we do have a 412 area code online. Should I pick him up?
Yeah, go for it.
All right, man. I believe this is the area. Yeah, area code 412. You're live.
Hello. How are you?
Hello. Good.
It's the Ranger Volva. How are you? I'm calling. Is this Nuamba? Who is
I'm here.
Who's
Nuamba
this on
here.
Your show?
It's
okay,
Nuamba.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And Frankie Metro is not Nuamba. People keep accusing Frankie Metro of being Nuamba. People have accused Analep of being Nuamba. People have accused Yossarian Hunter of being Nuamba. They're not Nuamba. I'm Nuamba, all right?
Yeah, that's
stop
Nuamba.
Accusing other people of being Nuamba, all right? I'm really angry about it. Prove it. I'm
talk
here. I'm
same,
here. We've got two people
time.
On the line.
Sing me all the world.
We are the world. We are the world. We are the children. We are the motherfuckers who sell you meth in the back alley behind 7-Eleven.
Excuse me, sorry.
Hey.
Yeah. I got a little excited. You mentioned meth, dude. I got a little excited.
He's talking about methamphetamines.
Yes, and I'm sorry, what was your name again? Your name was it?
Deranger Vulva.
Deranger
Vulva.
Deranger Vulva.
Yes. Yes, but now I'm thinking about methamphetamine. I'm a bit of an addict. Nwamba, I'm a bit of an addict. I am.
Oh really? That's good.
That is good. Yeah.
Yeah. It's good to be addicted to this.
It's like a trigger.
Yeah.
I'm quite broken up about the Beastie Boy. I'm quite broken up. An MCA.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very, very terrible.
Well, I tell you what, Deranger Vulva, if you want to hang out with us on the line, we'll play another song. And actually, when we come back, me and Nwamba happen to be meth dealers, so we can definitely fix you up. Yeah.
Hook me up. Okay.
We're meth dealers, right?
We'll be happy to meth do that. Dealer? We'll be happy.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to do that. Yeah, we're going to be happy to do that for you, Deranger Vulva. So please hold tight. And I think what we're going to do next is we're going to play... This is actually the UK-based 60s ska band, Simmerip. A little song called Parson's Corner. You guys are listening to the Draconia Vampire Tunnel. It's Coughing After Repairs. I'm your host, DJ Frankie Flash Metro. And we'll be right back.
Thank you.
bridesmaid, never a bride. Others are never a bride or even a bridesmaid, but forever the stripper at the bachelor party.
All right, that was Simmerip. A little song called Carson's Corner. And actually, Simmerip is a band that, when they moved to Germany back in the 70s, they were started performing what is known as Afro rock or reggae. But funny enough about the name of the song, Carson's Corner, there's actually a restaurant in Barton, Vermont, named the Parson's Corner. And I highly suggest the Portuguese muffin, although I've never actually ate it. That being the case, Nuamba Flamingo and Deranja Vulva, you both are on the line. Nuamba, before we went to the song, I believe the question was posed to you to prove your identity. I was just wondering how many times, I mean, do you get this very often? Do you have people, like, trying to get you to prove your identity a lot?
No, not really.
No?
Not really. It's only been a recent phenomenon. And there was actually a case of it before, a couple years ago, where many people didn't believe that I actually existed.
Mm.
There were many people who believed that that they were just imagining me.
Mm. Interesting.
So there was a case of that. And actually, I was kind of worried about that. You know, that whole thing too, because I thought maybe I was imagining myself, that maybe I really didn't exist. So I started worrying about that for a few days, and then I don't know. There was an incident with an area of my body I don't want to talk about that kind of made me realize that I do exist.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Well, we are always here to listen to Nuamba. So if you ever want to just divulge that information, you know, feel free to. Think of the Draconian Vampire Tunnel as like one big couch. Just feel free to kick back.
And, yeah.
Yeah, you know, unbear.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe I will. I will divulge that information someday.
Getting back
but not
to,
right now.
Well, I was going to say, getting back to Deranja Vulva. Is that area code 724? Is that right? 724?
Is she still there?
Deranja
Vulva.
No, that's not.
No.
No, that's not Deranja Vulva.
Somebody else.
Yeah.
Who is that?
That's Lynn Alexander.
Yeah. How are you? How are you, Nuamba? How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing very well.
Yeah, I don't know about the crackhead, but I do recall that you are two distinct, separate, disparate individuals because I've heard your shows before. I think a couple months ago, well, I don't know when it was, but you guys did a show, and I think, yeah, I heard both of you, so, yeah, that's cool. I do, you know, and I'm curious. I was wondering if, you know, I did tell Frankie that I was curious about a few things about you. I don't know if you'd humor me, because, you know, a couple questions about
sure.
goats.
Sure.
You know, goats. I think that you had, and you, we were actually talking about your what was it, ass raped by, Frankie, help me out here,
ass raped
by
a
poetry
crazy
bitch.
Poetry bitch.
Yeah.
This happened.
We were talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, this happened to me in England.
It did. Well, that was one of my questions is, you know, were some of your works that we've been discussing lately, if they were, you know, rooted in experience, if these were things that, ordeals that you had actually lived through. We're curious about that. And
well,
do you think that
do
you think goats are an underutilized resource?
Oh, well, I totally think that ghosts are an underutilized resource. I had a ghost living in my refrigerator for a long time. It was actually the ghost of Ezra Pound lived in my refrigerator for a long time. Yeah, Ezra Pound's ghost showed up to my house one night and tried to attack me, and so I chased it with a vacuum cleaner into my refrigerator, and I kept it in my refrigerator for a long time. And then another poet, this poet Raskin, who I know from the internet, came by my house, broke into my house while I was at my ballet lesson, and stole my ghost from me. This really happened. She stole my ghost from me, and I have not seen Ezra Pound's ghost since. And I really liked having Ezra Pound's Ghost in my refrigerator because, like, we used to – we didn't really talk about poetry a lot. We mostly talked about Italian food and cooking, and he used to give me all sorts of really good recipes for pasta because he lived in Italy for a while. So we would mostly talk about, you know, cooking, and he gave me all these tips for recipes, and it was great having him in my refrigerator. I really miss him. You know, I get sad sometimes when I think about him not being in my refrigerator anymore.
How long did you study ballet, and did you take it seriously?
I took it very seriously. Actually, I still do ballet to this day. I still do ballet.
Have you ever done a plié in front of a Pizza Hut?
No, I have not. Have you?
I have. Many chain restaurants, actually. I do enjoy dancing in front of chain restaurants. Do you happen to own any breast cancer awareness products or apparel?
No, I don't, but I perform free breast cancer inspections, though. Like, if somebody's worried that they might have breast cancer, I will be happy to check to see if they do. I perform exams for free.
All right, who sucks more, Van Halen or Sammy Hagar? I mean, David Lee Roth or Sammy Hagar?
No, I hate Sammy Hagar. I like David Lee Roth, though. I like David Lee Roth.
So if you had to choose, if you were, like, in heaven and you were going to see, like, Van Halen and, like fucking God was like, all right, Nwamba, you know, we're bringing Van Halen to, like, play for you in, like, the arena here, who would you want as the front man? Forever,
David
eternity.
Roth.
David Lee Roth, yeah.
Panama, Jump, you know, those classic Van Halen. I mean, what the fuck did Sammy Hagar do? That guy is such a douchebag.
Nothing.
Yeah, he didn't do shit. I mean, they had like
one.
He
was like Right
song.
Now and all that stuff, yeah. Stuff that sucked.
Oh,
that video with the signs, And everybody was like, oh, that's so clever. It wasn't clever. Korn was clever.
Yeah.
Van Halen wasn't clever. You know, Frankie, I hope you don't mind because I told you that I had a lot of curiosity about your guest tonight. So I certainly do not intend to, you know, hijack your questioning. It's just that, you know, I have an agenda. So yeah.
Well, I appreciate we always have agendas here on the show, and of course, you know, it's very imperative that we get to know Nwamba Flamingo a little bit because, you know, He's a good guy, man, and I like his company, and I like when people come around and they're interested. So I don't mind. I don't mind at all. In fact,
these are important questions too, though. These are important questions too.
Exactly.
I haven't asked you the most important question, and the absolute most important question that I think most people would agree, most listeners, if I could gauge the demographics for Frankie Metro accurately, which you know, I'm smart and I think I have. Star Wars or Indiana Jones?
Nice.
Oh, Star Wars.
Oh,
Star
come
Wars,
on, man.
No.
For real?
Star Wars. Oh, yeah. Star Wars.
Serious?
Rock. Yeah.
Temple of Doom, bro. Temple of Doom.
Star Wars. Star Wars for me. Nothing beats Star Wars. I love Star Wars. Nothing beats Star Wars.
See, now that's proof right there that we are two completely different people.
See, what we've done is we've, like, severed the two-headed snake here, and we've sort of pulled you apart into your separate, you know, aesthetic realms, you know? And what we've done, actually, is we've begun the process of sort of, you know, putting that wedge, you know, in people's minds.
You're going to drop a wedge between us,
Alexander? No, that we're altering perception. We're altering perception because, you know, one thing we want for you, Nwamba, other than your comfort and your, you know, willingness to be candid about Sammy Hagar, what we want is for you to have that identity of your own. You know, we're kind of tired of people saying, is he really Frankie Metro? Is he really this one? You know, we want you to come out of that closet, you know, clad in your ballet outfit and be, you know, be visible. That's what we want.
Well, I don't think Frankie Metro has ever worn a tutu in public, and I have. So,
not to your knowledge.
When did you wear a tutu, man?
We're not going to get into that.
You wear a leotard. You wear a leotard, motherfucker. That's what you wear. You wear a leotard.
Just because I like like Indiana Jones, I got to wear the leotard. Come on, man.
Of course, man. And the cape. You wear a cape as well. Frankie Metro wears a cape. I have never worn a cape in public. Never.
Has he worn it in front of an Olive Garden or a chain restaurant?
No, you know what? Hold on. Before you answer any other questions, we're going to get into the Project U newsfeed. It's 11:30, so we're going to get into that. You guys hang out for a second. Project U newsfeed coming up, and then we're going to be back. Actually, after that, we're going to lead right into a little Beastie Boys track. It's a little surprise. It's a mashup. I got a little mashup on deck for you guys, so you know, I thought I'd bring that back. You guys listen to the Draconian Vampire Tunnel is Closed to Repairs. I'm your host, DJ Frankie Flash Metro. Number to call in, 805-856-2808. We'll be right back.
Have just released their first album in 3 years.
That's it.
Yeah. It's called Check Your Head, performing their single, So What You Want.
Give it up for the Beastie Boys.
Take a down, back to nature, set loose, and I wanna take a down.
definition of Bukowski-esque. Etc. Bluebird.
Poo poo pee pee penis vagina.
Hooker mailman.
Fist fight.
Hooker.
In poem.
P.S. Have sex with me.
A city is a memory of
trash cans and hookers. Have sex with me. I am the real poet.
Faggot. Fist fight.
Jack Kerouac is very soft when he does it.
Count to three.
Count the candles.
Catch the wind. Today's Project U Newsfeed is brought to you, of course, by The Literary Underground. You guys can go to www.theliteraryunderground.org for all your information about that. Today's actually about Paraphilia Magazine's latest release, which I cannot pronounce the name of, so I'm not even going to try. But I will tell you where you can go find it. It's at www.issue, that's I, S as in Sam, S as in Sam, U as in you just heard that, and U as in you really just heard that, .com, / Paraphilia, Paraphilia, mag.com. You have to excuse me, I'm brushing up for the spelling bee at the Midwest Small Press Festival in Milwaukee on June 1st and the 2nd. So you guys should definitely go out and check that out. Be doing a reading there with Catfish McDerris, Michelle McDonald, Tim Murray, Tom Andrews, other people. So it's good stuff there going on. Before we went to the Beastie Boys with So What You Want live from Arsenio Hall, we were discussing Nuamba Flamingo, of course, and I was actually going to ask Lynn Alexander, since you are on the program with myself and Nuamba here, what's your reaction to the death of MCA?
Oh, me? Well, you know what? Well, obviously it's sad. I mean, you know, he's a young guy, and you know, and I think for a lot of us, you know, like you were talking about earlier, you know. Listening to it, you know, when you're younger. I mean, I think a lot of us kind of grew up with the Beastie Boys. You know, it's a little more than just music. It's a part of our, I don't know, our childhood, I guess. You know, in teen years, and I don't know. It's sort of been like, you know, it's like they've always kind of been, you know, and it's sad. You know, it's kind of like when, you know, I don't want to compare it to Kurt Cobain, but I do want to kind of compare it to that because I had the same kind of feeling about that too, like, you know, something that's familiar to you, that's, you know, a part of your cultural, I don't know, it's sad. It's just sad. I mean, and you know, people say, oh, well, they suck, they didn't do anything that was really all that original. I mean, I disagree with that. I mean, you know,
Nuamba, what do you say to people that say the Beastie Boys suck? Like, what would you say to those people?
Well, I mean, personally, I'd say fuck you, but,
right.
You know, everybody's entitled to their opinion. You know, if that's somebody's opinion that they don't like the Beastie Boys music and they think they suck, then okay, that's their opinion. I don't really give a fuck what they think. You know, I know that I love that group. I think they were original. They were, you know, experimental. They tried all sorts of different stuff. They didn't just do rap. You know, they ventured into rock, funk, blues, you know, electronic music. You know, they could take old school stuff and make it sound new. I mean, they could just do anything. They were pioneers. They were musicians. You know, they were just creative, funky motherfuckers. And, you know, and anybody who doesn't at least recognize, you know, how innovative and funky they were, I mean, I don't know, that's their opinion, but I would say, you know, whatever, fuck you if you don't like them. Because I dug them. I dug the fuck out of them. I still do.
Fuck yeah, man.
Me too. I agree.
Word up. I've actually got another song on deck, and then we're going to come back with Area Code 510. Since we're talking about the Beasties, I'm going to throw another track at you guys. I'm going to actually call this one the last of the MCA mashup right here live. the Draconian Vampire Tunnel. I'm not claiming that I made it, but I am going to bite it, and I'm going to use it. Last of the MCA mashup. We'll be right back.
Kick me. Kick me. What was that? An exhibition? We need emotional content. Try again. I said emotional content, not anger. Now try again with me. That's it. How did it feel to you?
Let me think.
Don't think. Feel. It is like a finger pointing away to the moon. Don't concentrate on the finger or you will miss all that heavenly glory. Do you understand? Never take your eyes off your opponent, even when you bow.
Can't sit in class. Eat, sit, die. Open up the ears and clean out your eyes. Give you a little love, your hands are as a prize.
The Last of MCA mashup. Tell me that was not some hot shit. I'm going to have to roll a blunt after that, for real. 510, tell me that was not some hot shit.
It was sweet. It was sweet with the violins and the background and just the way the music moved in layers was. It just enough to cradle the soul, rock the soul a little.
You get older,
these guys getting older and getting more secure and confident in their talents, and just like, you know, I think you really get to appreciate what music is, either in its simplest forms or its most complicated forms, getting older. But I did enjoy that jam quite a bit. That was really sweet.
Nice, man. Very articulate. Mr. Paul Corman Roberts is joining us on the program with Nuevo Flamenco and, of course, Lynn Alexander. And I don't know, like, I grew up, I don't know, Nuevo, you've seen Last of the Mohicans, is that right? You've seen that movie.
It's been a while.
It's a good one, man. It's a really good one.
Great song.
I'd be honest with you, the very favorite part of that movie, for me, was that song itself. I don't know, something about that song. And like you were saying, man, it kind of cradles the soul a little bit. So, yeah. That stuff. Welcome, Paul, man. It's good to have you around, dude, for real.
I know, man. All in a somber mood here, you know, like, oh, poor MCA.
It's hard to let go of, like, somebody as creative as MCA, man. The Beastie Boys, like, I never thought in a million years I'd be, like, you know, fucking talking about MCA dying, you know. It seems like it's crazy this year, like, the type of people that are, like, dropping off, you know, like Whitney Houston and then, like, MCA and, you know, and then, of course, in the poetry community, it's been, like, really tough as well. You know, we got Scott Wahnberg and, you know, and Mike.
Well, that was a while back.
Mike Taylor, man, you know.
We've had a real run in the small press, that's for sure.
Yeah, man. It's, I don't know, 2012 seems like it's kind of like a year where everything, like, I don't know, it feels like all the dead skin's dropping off, you know? And I'd hate to, like, make that kind of metaphor, but it's, I'm kind of hoping that there's going to be a revitalization of sorts of both small press and film and what have you, man. I don't know, what do you guys think?
Paul, are you convinced now that Nuevo is his own distinct, you know, entity?
I didn't know. I mean, hi, Nuevo, I'm Paul. This is the first time I've heard you or heard you on the show. So I didn't realize that you were, it's not necessarily talked about, you know, because so many people use personas and personalities. But I accept Nuevo as a separate entity from Franklin Metropolis, absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. I don't think I really know you either, but I appreciate you saying that.
Yeah. Well, Frankie said you're calling for the 805 area code, so that's telling me you're down L.A. way somewhere there.
Oh, no.
No?
I'm very far away from that. I'm quite a ways away from L.A. I'm in Mongolia.
That's a hell of a place to be.
Yeah.
I heard a lot of that's really beautiful, though.
What time is it in Mongolia?
It's 1:50 in the afternoon.
On Wednesday.
Nuamba, I have a question. Are you aware of the fact that in the United States there are more plastic flamingos than there are real ones?
Wow.
Yeah, and that's really sad.
I mean, what does that say? What does that say about society? I mean, I think, you know, when you, like, put your head down, well, not tonight because it's afternoon there, but, you know, later on, I mean, that's something to think about, really. You know, what that says about people.
Wouldn't it be more environmentally sound if we had more holograms of flamingos?
Yes.
And then there wouldn't be all that plastic deteriorating. But I guess that still comes out being a really sad statement, doesn't it?
we're killing off animals.
We're killing animals to create fake animals. It's not right.
What's that science fiction thing where they're going to be holograms of trees instead of real trees? They have to invent holograms of trees so people remember what they look like, because there won't be any.
Well, but isn't that a skewed sense of value? I mean, you value them enough to want their representation in your garden to, you know, as a decorative thing, but you don't care enough about their habitat and their numbers and their, you know, I just think the whole thing, if you really think about it, is just, you know, it's just one of those real sickening metaphors. So I just, you know.
But it's a control thing. It's a control thing because you can control a plastic flamingo. You can put it in your yard.
Right.
You can put it in your house. You can do whatever you want with it, but a real flamingo is going to fly away.
Mm.
Maybe it's man's want to control.
That was a proverb. That was a goddamn proverb right there.
No, I think that's true. Yeah. I think that plays into it a lot. I think that it does. I mean, we would rather have a short lawn than have, you know, natural growing, you know, indigenous weeds that are suited for the soil. No, we rip that all out, and then we take something that doesn't belong in that climate, and then we water the hell out of it and try to force it, you know. I think that we do that, not just with flamingos and grass, but with all kinds of things. You know, not to be a downer.
The entire Central Valley of California is exactly that same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just, you know, thought the whole flamingo thing, I mean, I thought, you know, does that have anything to do with why... I mean, do you have, like, an affinity for flamingos or the tragedy of them?
Well, I'm from Miami Beach. So,
wow.
Like, flamingos and, you know, birds, tropical birds are very special to me. You know, pelicans, flamingos, cranes, you know, all those sorts of birds are very special to me.
Word.
So it hurts me when they die.
Yeah.
When a bird dies, I'm very hurt by that. I really like birds.
Yeah.
It's important to remember the flamingo was the first big casino in Las Vegas too. That's I think that's crucial to the discussion.
That is. Good point.
Yes.
I appreciate flamingos of all shapes and sizes. I just want to go on record in saying that. And man, you know what? I'm gonna try to move. We're gonna move things along here. We actually got 6 minutes left of. We're getting too damn somber here, man. No, I don't like this.
Okay. How about this?
Oh,
it's not
somber talking about death, right?
Yes.
Right. No, that's the way it goes. How about this?
Far
about
be
this?
It for
it's,
me to make
it's
it
not
somber.
The size. It's not the size of the flamingo. It's the way it flaps its wings.
Nice.
Get out of here.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that. I like
awful.
That was a good
I
one.
I like that.
That was really
I like
good.
That. I like that. Yeah, that's good.
That's what I think about a bad joke. It breaks up the somber.
Exactly. It's a perfect segue as well, sir. I was going to say, Mr. Nuovo Flamingo, if you wouldn't mind finding something to read, I was going to play a song real quick and maybe have you read something for us, bro.
Okay, I can do that.
Sweet, man. Fucking A. Before that, of course, we're going to play, this is Viet Cong by Al Reed. You guys listened to Draconian Vampire Tunnel. It's closed for repairs, but, you know, we're always open for funeral services and somber moods. And, of course, flamingo. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
at the banquet with his tanner, an apparently gay veteran with post-traumatic stress disorder. It said he said he had PTSD on his shirt, and I assumed he was gay when he was pointing out all the cute boys. He was living in a homeless shelter and can't be much older than 30, could be as young as 25. At one point, he asked the site supervisor to sign his mommy note. He had to explain, "I need you to tell the homeless shelter that I've been here working."
that was Little Dragon with Crystal Film. Really, really dig that track. And actually before that we heard, Al Reed with Viet Cong. That was actually, that was a Blue Cat Records release. Of course, Blue Cat Records being a subsidiary of very esteemed Trojan Records, who's put out such LPs, great reggae, rocksteady artists like the Pioneers, the Maytones. You guys will actually be hearing some of those guys probably next Friday, not this coming Friday, but the one after that, on the Friday RPM edition of Draconian Vampire Tunnel. So please be sure to come back for that. Of course, before we went to the song, Mr. Nuamba Flamingo, you were going to read a... did you find something to read there, sir?
I did. I just want to say I like that track. I like that Little Dragon track. That was very cool, yeah. I hadn't heard that before. It's really dug on that.
Definitely check them out, dude. They're fucking badass, man.
Yeah, that was all right. Yeah, man, I got a piece by a Mr. James Crawford.
Nice.
And I thought I would read it. It's called Me and Sirs Make a Go of It. I admit I was lured by her voice and knew from the get-go that she lived in a cave. One way in and no way out. It wasn't that she sang so good that captured me. It was that she sang at all. With her face away from me at the rainy windshield. The splash of raindrops mixed with her semi-harmony singing along with the CD player in the car. I said, "Where do you live?" And she answered, "In a cave down the road." When we got there, I saw that it was a hole in a rock shaped like a mouth. I knew it would devour me, but I did not expect to be chewed. I stumbled and fell as soon as she released me. I found my way to a footpath below and limped forward with the help of a walking stick made from my own blood. Now, when I think of her voice, it brings a little laugh along with it, a giggle from hell. And that is that piece.
Nice. James Crawford. Yeah. What do you guys think of that? Paul, what do you think of that poem?
It was strong. Liked it a lot.
Yeah. Good shit, man. Really did. Lynn, what do you think?
No, it's cool. It's cool. I'm glad we got to sneak it in because, you know, I don't know if you realize we're an archive, so the live people out there are going to have to check that out later on. But, you know, that's cool. No, I like that. I agree, strong piece. But, you know, I also, yeah, that's cool.
Circe was the was from the Odyssey. Is that right, Nuamba?
I believe so. I haven't read the Odyssey in years and years. But actually, he made a note to this saying that he wrote this after reading The Islands by H.D., which is a piece I have not read. So I will have to check that out myself.
Definitely check that out. Really appreciate you bringing that. And since we do have... Paul Coleman Roberts and Lynn Alexander on the line. I expect both of you to have something to read as well, right? Both of you guys do.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, sure. You betcha. Just sitting right here ready to go.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to give you some time, and we're going to play the last Beastie Boy track of the evening. This is actually another mashup, and I wanted to get this in before the archives, but... You know what? This has been such a cool show. Like, we're just taking the flow as we go. We're freewheeling, Lynn Alexander. We're just
freewheeling.
Yeah.
And it is the Odyssey, I believe.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. Of course, Lynn Alexander, part of the Draconian Vampire Tunnel Fact Research Team. It's a very small team, and we pay everybody in nickels and snap. It's black tea. It's black and green tea. Come on, man. It's good stuff. Good shit. Beasties Against the Machine, Day One, Beaded Break Mix, right here on the Draconian Vampire Tunnel. Yeah, we'll be right back.
The reality is, we're just four musicians from Los Angeles who have used our voices and our talent and our musicianship and our words to stand up against these unjust policies. And why the fuck are these cops so afraid of us? Are they afraid of us?
Cool. If you could have the drum beat going, then why not have... If for the record, I'm fine if somebody wants to take something that I've made and chop it up and so it's like their own new thing.
I'm a man that's on a mission. Yes, that's the bomb! Son, you better listen. Yes, that's the bomb! I'm a man that's on a mission. Yes, that's the bomb! Son, you better listen.
For the temp agency, Gary cleans up nicely. The only visible evidence of some former life, the only scars, are the tattoos on his hands. Like Tanner, the young gay war veteran, he needed a note for the homeless shelter. Some proof he wasn't out smoking crack or drinking hairspray or gangbanging or whatever crazy shit he was into before. He's a workaholic now. He says he was working at 7:30 a.m. at the Goodwill warehouse. After the first banquet, I saw him the next day, and I'd seen him at the bus stop the night before, where he was likely to miss the last connecting one to get him back to the shelter. When I saw him again, I said, "You must be exhausted." He said, I like to work until I'm delirious.
Don't let the sun go down on your grievance. Respect love of the heart over lust of the flesh.
Johnson with Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Your Grievances. Daniel Johnson, of course, will be headlining a CD release concert at the Rochester Opera House this Saturday to benefit Mr. Brett Hartenbaugh, who is the brother of small press superstar Mr. Mark Hartenbaugh. So everybody, please, if you're in the Rochester area, please go check that out. Daniel Johnson alone would be a draw for me. I don't know about you guys. Iwamba, have you ever, you a Daniel Johnson fan?
No, actually, I have not heard of him.
Yeah, he's a really cool dude, man. He actually was an influence on, Kurt Cobain used to wear, like, one of his t-shirts on stage and shit like that, so, big influence guy, that guy.
Yeah, you know what, actually, if you have, Netflix or any of those, actually, Netflix, of all places, has a whole bunch of, they have documentaries about him, and you can actually see a lot of, you know, just his artwork, his life. I mean, you know, very, very cool. It's just, you know, I think it's something to check out if you have, you know, a spare
Saturday. I think it's really cool that he's going to be doing a benefit concert for, you know, a fellow Ohio artist like Brett Hartenbaugh, so I think that's fucking dope, man. Really is. Of course, Brett Hartenbaugh is suffering from a brain tumor right now, and that's some serious stuff to go through. And all our thoughts and prayers go out to, of course, Mark Hartenbaugh and his family. And really hope that things get better for you. That being said, I think, you know what, Lynn Alexander, you were next in line, actually.
Next in line for
reading.
Oh.
Oh. Oh yeah, yeah.
I'm on the hot seat, am I?
Yep.
Okay. Well, you know what? We are in archives. I don't know how much time you have, but I'll let you worry about that, I guess. You know.
We've got another 43 minutes, actually.
Oh well. You know what? I do need to go to bed pretty soon because it's like 2:20.
Well, you can read and then skate out. That's fine. Yeah.
Love them and leave them.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, if existence is a rhythm, our hearts would become our gods. We've forgotten the horizon. The earth is flat again. When there is light, we rise. There is little beyond the scope of what we see. There is nothing beyond the mountain, no mythology. There is no communing of shared science. There are no threats or facts beyond the sensorium. We don't fear the things we cannot see, so we drink freely. We wash our tongues with forgotten disease. We eat raw meat. We've forgotten who our partners are supposed to be. We couple intermittently. When we are no longer pleased, we leave. We can't get babies to survive, and sometimes we don't try. Sometimes we palpate at their chests, press their heads. When they are definitely dead, we soak them. We stuff stones into their mouths to weigh them down. We bloat them, and then we take their eyes. That's pleasant.
Wow, that was heavy.
Oh, shit.
That's pleasant for, you know, I thought it'd do something family friendly and cheerful.
Oh,
you know?
that was perfect. Paul, what did you think, sir?
That was I love that. I love Lynn's work. I'm a fan, so yeah, that was just beautiful.
Yeah. You know what my favorite part was actually, there are no thoughts and facts beyond the sensorium. I really dug that. That was fucking dope.
Yeah. The sensorium is a very important place.
Yeah, it is. Fuck yeah, Lynn. Well, you know what? After that kick-ass poem, you are more than welcome to go to bed now.
I have to. I'm sorry. You know, I'm like withering on the vine. I'm getting, you know, and I'm going to start saying stupid things, talking about lists and...
Oh, no. No, we're not going to talk about lists on this show.
You know, you just want to let me go before I,
that's,
you know,
for
break
back
something.
Porch discussions in Riverdale, Illinois, and what have you, so there you go.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But good night, everybody, and good night, Nwamba. I really am glad to hear you and talk to you, and I hope you come back, and I hope you, yeah, I hope you're on the show some more because, yeah, it's cool to hear from you. All right, thank you. Good night.
Thanks. Yeah, good talking to you. Have a good night.
All right. Paul Corman Roberts.
Yeah, I got the same thing. I'll just read my little bit and skate out and get ready for another long day at the grind.
Word.
Here. So this is really brand new. This is called Never Enough. Giving or living or any of the things that make us recognizably human, never enough of all the stupid little things we use to fill in the void between bouts of survival. Not nearly enough of this stumbling around in the dark, trying to find the place we first met. Never enough autonomy to bring us back to that same abyss we thought might save us.
Fuck yeah.
Thank you for a hot show tonight, Frankie. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, sir. I appreciate you coming by. Not nearly enough stumbling in the dark. I agree, sir.
Not nearly enough of it. It's great to meet you too, Nwamba. I was glad to hang out with you tonight.
Yeah, man, cool talking to you.
All right, we'll do it again soon. Take care, y'all.
Later, brother.
Yeah, definitely. Peace.
Right on. Man, Nwamba, dude, you come around and, like, shit gets really hot, dude. What's up with that?
I don't know. I think we've just been blessed tonight with some really cool guests and some really cool songs. And, yeah, it's been a very cool evening. Or day for me.
Yeah,
it's been a cool day for me, but a cool evening with you guys.
Yeah, definitely, man. I always appreciate you coming around. And, of course, everybody, if you guys want to hear Mr. Nwamba Mingo, definitely come back this Thursday at same time, 10 p.m. Western, 11 p.m. Mountain, 12 a.m. Central Standard Time, 1 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And what time is that Mongolian time, sir?
It's going to be 1 o'clock Mongolian time.
Yeah.
1 p.m.
Meth Lab Radio with, of course, the head operator himself, Mr. Nwamba Flamingo, and myself, the chemist. So please be sure to come by and check that out. Man, I have to also apologize to you for last week, man. I totally fucked that up, and yeah, that's my bad. So.
Yeah, well, fuck you, man. I'll never let that shit happen again. I'll fucking kill you. Whatever, fucking do that again, man.
I will, man. I
How
promise.
Dare you?
I know.
How dare you?
I felt like a real retard. But you know what, dude? I kind of felt like it was karma, to be honest with you, because a lot of people have been giving me shit the last couple of weeks over that Frankie Metro fucked a goat piece. So, yeah, I felt like it was karma.
That's from a while ago, man.
No, I know. I'm saying, like, people are like, yeah, I know. They're like, they're still laid into me. They're like, oh, you like to fuck goats, don't you? So,
really? Who's saying that?
I actually got a friend request from a guy, and he's like, so how was the goat? That was his. It was pretty awesome, man. It's pretty cool. I told you about Portland, right? I told you about the reception that piece got in Portland, right?
Yeah, you got booed off stage. That's great. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I think that's wonderful. can anger people that much. And although I do feel bad for you because, you know, not only did you, you know, fuck and then get, you know, pulled away, you know, into the sunset by a goat, you also, you know, got booed off stage for it. And it's like you're the one who this thing happened to.
Right.
So it's like, you know, I should be booed for that, not you. So it's like you were doubly fucked in that whole situation.
I was,
I think,
man.
It's very unfortunate.
Yeah. Very I was fucked. I know, right? Well, you know, I shouldn't have lit the blunt. And you know what? That's exactly what I'm going to do right now, man. I'm going to light the blunt. While I light the blunt, are you going to hang out with us for the rest of the show? I mean, we still got a couple more songs to play.
Yeah, I can hang out for a little bit more, yeah.
Nice, nice.
Yeah, I can hang out for a bit more.
Right on, man. Well, coming up next, of course, we got Lee Scratch Perry, a little song called Wishes of the Wicked. We'll be right back.
The wishes of the wicked can never reveal. The more they try, for what is to be, it must be. What's for you, one day from you, those should not covet what thy neighbor possess. It was written by the prophet, the seed you sow, that's what grows. If you sow good seed, you will reap good seed. Ooh, ooh,
Roosevelt was a black man from Artesia, New Mexico, who explains that the outcomes that would happen as a result of the Raza graduation. He said, at least half of them will drive drunk. At least two will get arrested. At least one person will do something really fucked up and meet Bill Wilson as a result.
Track. What do you think about that, Nuwamba?
I liked it.
Yeah,
it was funky.
Yeah,
yeah, it did.
Real funky, man. They are frequent visitors here at the Vampire Tunnel, and they always bring that fucking. They bring that funk, man. Really do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty cool shit right there.
Okay. Before we go, man, I was gonna say we got one more song to play, and then I think. I've been hearing some reports about Buddhist hell following that or something like that. I'm not sure, dude. Buddhist hell, man. Supposedly, this is actually an interesting fact, and I was going to ask you if you had heard anything about this, but supposedly one day in hell equals 9 million Earth years. Do you know if that's true or false?
I don't know. I'd imagine that it probably would. I don't know if I really believe in hell.
Yeah.
But if there is such a hell, it probably would equal to, you know, one Earth day, or one day in hell would equal to, what, 9 million Earth days or something?
Yeah, 9 million Earth years, actually.
Earth years, whoa.
Yeah.
Supposedly, I would think that hell would probably suck.
Yeah.
Although, dude, right, like, if there is a hell, seriously, and if it's the Christian idea of hell and everybody that's bad is there, I think that's probably a pretty cool place.
Yeah.
Right? Because everything that's banned in the Bible and Christianity, like, all that stuff is pretty cool. Most of it, at least, is pretty cool. So if you're going to go to hell for all that stuff and there really is a hell, I think hell's probably pretty cool.
Right on. Well, yeah.
I
dig that, man. You guys actually, you heard it right here, Draconian Vampire Tunnel. We fully are advocates of hell.
Yeah.
Right
yeah,
on, man.
Worse.
I'll ride behind you, dude. Seriously, fuck it. I'll go with you. Fuck it. Let's just go take the motherfucker over. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, dude, because think about all the self-righteous assholes and, you know, all those dickheads, you know, who protest outside, you know, rock concerts and, you know, all those, like, playing, you know, the fucking parents and family group type assholes, you know, those types of people. Like, if those are the people in heaven, I don't want to be there.
Yeah.
Go to hell where you got the cool motherfuckers, you know. That's where I want to be.
You can go fucking chill. We were talking about fucking Kurt Cobain earlier. We'll go chill with Kurt Cobain and I'll actually kick his ass. I've been wanting to do that for a while, to be honest with you.
Why
he robbed me of my
ass?
Youth, man. He robbed me of my youth.
How did he rob you of your youth?
That's a long story. I don't know if we got enough time for that, to be honest with you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe some other time.
Maybe on the meth lab we'll discuss that a little bit further. Maybe.
I wouldn't mind discussing that. We should do that.
Okay. All right. We'll do that. Definitely. Before we do, sir, before we sign off for the evening, I was wondering if we could get maybe one more Nuwamba piece from you.
I don't know. I got one piece, but it's a little bit long. How much time do we got?
We got 25 minutes. We actually got 25.
Okay. Now I got time for this. Okay. I'd like to read this piece, and I think you know the piece it is. All right. Here we go. Recently, I did a BTR online radio show with the poet Frankie Metro. During the show, we were called by another poet, a Mr. Yossarian Hunter, who proceeded to read a poem about fucking a dog. Yossarian went on to discuss various forms of animal fucking, as well as the numerous virtues of bestiality. Seems this thing happens quite a lot in Mississippi, and that his favorite animal to fuck is a goat. I never really thought that much about fucking a goat, but Yossarian Hunter made a really good case for it. You can buy a goat for much cheaper than you can a hooker, and a hooker you only get for one night, whereas a goat you can keep for many years, plus it'll mow your yard. Try getting a hooker to mow your yard. Plus, all you got to do to make a goat happy is to feed it. Just 99 cents will buy you an apple to feed a goat and make it happy, as opposed to a hooker that you got to pay at least $50 for head alone, plus you might also have to buy her crack cocaine or some shit. Frankie Metro and I were initially repulsed, though amused by Yossarian's praise of bestiality. However, through telepathy after the show, we discussed the matter in greater depth, and the more we talked about fucking a goat, the more turned on we got by it, so we decided to meet up the next night at a peyote farm in the New Mexico desert to try it ourselves. We agreed to rendezvous up at the farm around 2 a.m. When I got there, I didn't see Frankie Metro anywhere. I was walking around for a little while making tropical bird mating call sounds, trying to locate him, when all of a sudden Frankie Metro fell from the sky, landing right in front of me. Upon landing, he made some kind of mentally retarded, retching-type yell into the Japanese-style bow. I swear a gong sounded in the background. Frankie Metro was in perfect attire for the occasion. He was wearing bright red tights, knee-high silver platform boots, and a brown leather motorcycle-type vest and a white, ill-fitting cape with a large marijuana leaf on it. He also had on some weightlifting gloves, one of those leather 1920s football helmets, and pink Barbie swimming goggles. I couldn't make out much of his face, probably because underneath the football helmet, smoke was pouring out, a greenish-type smoke, and I could see that he was pulling on a fat blunt. Without even saying a word, Frankie passed me the blunt and motioned me to follow him up to a nearby hill. I hit the blunt a few times and was instantly buzzed. It was some chronic shit. I almost forgot why we'd met anyway, but then I saw a goat gnawing on a bush of hydroponic ganja up at the top of the hill, and I remembered why we were here. At first, I thought maybe we were going to tag team the goat, and I suggested this to Frankie. However, neither one of us wanted to be in front and take the chance on the goat biting our dick off. Neither of us wanted to go for sloppy seconds either, so we flipped a coin for first fuck. Frankie called heads and won. Initially, he was somewhat reluctant to fuck the goat since he's married to a lovely transsexual midget, a Korean karaoke singer named Tang Woo Doo Doo Kai, and felt like fucking the goat would be like cheating on him slash her. I assured him that it's not. Bestiality doesn't count as cheating or adultery. I confirmed this as well through telepathy with Yossarian. Frankie and I hit the blunt a few more times, and Frankie was like, fuck this shit. It's time to get all up in this goat ass. He yanked down his tights and broke out a penis I can only describe as monstrous. It wasn't as big as Yossarian's penis, but it was still big, about the length and width of a 1.5-liter water bottle. Besides the sheer size of it, noteworthy as well as how Frankie mentioned... Noteworthy as well about Frankie Mecho's penis was that it had a large dragon wings tattooed on it, big neon purple ones, and that it was and that it was uncircumcised with an especially long and floppy foreskin, which kind of resembled a folded slice of smoked turkey. His dick really looked like like a weird, fucked up face neon dragon or something you might see if you were taking acid and watching Sesame Street. I was expecting Frankie Mecho's penis to start shooting fire or singing the alphabet at any moment. His testicles were also unique. One testicle was damn near the size of a football and the other the size of a ping pong ball. I had no idea how they got so uneven like that or how this motherfucker even managed to walk. There were some hairy shits too. Fucking hairiest nads I'd ever seen. Looked like somebody caught Slash in a headlock. Frankie Mecho cradled his dragon penis in his hand, stroking it till it achieved erection. He calmly approached the goat, which seemed oblivious to the whole thing, and rested his hands on both the goat's furry on both of the goat's furry buttocks. Frankie arched his ass backwards, then gave the goat a sudden pelvic thrust, and his massive unit rocketed right up into the goat's vagina. His dick entering the goat's pussy made a loud, squishy-type sound, like someone squashed an orange with a sledgehammer. Frankie closed his eyes, bent back his head, and began thrashing away at the goat, truly fucking it like the animal it was. The goat only made slight bah-type murmurs, but Frankie, in a trance of pleasure, started screaming uncontrollably, speaking in tongues, and again making those retarded retching sounds he'd made when we first met. After about 5 minutes of fucking the goat, Frankie Mecho appeared to orgasm into it, his whole body gyrating in spastic, violent, epileptic fit-type convulsions, except his arms, which remained frozen still in an almost yoga-like contortion. Once it appeared he'd finished orgasming, he reached down and tried to withdraw his penis from the goat, but couldn't. It seemed his penis had gotten stuck. Frankie Mecho tried in vain to pull his penis out, but it was to no avail. Soon he started really freaking out, yelling, slapping, and punching at the goat, trying to break its vaginal grip. He cried out to me for help, and I ran over to assist and attempted to yank the goat's head forward, thinking this might undo it, but it didn't. Actually, it just pissed the goat off. The goat glanced up at me with a satanic expression, like it had been fucked by one too many poets, and it growled and butted forward, knocking me over. The goat bah! With such an ear-splitting squeal that I had to cover my ears, and I thought for a second my eardrums would explode. The goat then took off running, with Frankie Mecho still attached to it. It ran like a racehorse, faster than any animal I could recall. The last I saw of it, it was dragging Frankie Mecho by the dick over the slope of a sandstone hill. Frankie Mecho's arms were flailing and Frankie Metro's arms were flailing and slapping madly at the beast, his cape flapping in the wind as the goat pulled him away, and I could still hear Frankie Metro's painful, retarded, retching screams for a couple minutes until they gradually faded away into the moonlit sky, into the moonlit night. I then tried to contact Frankie Metro by telepathy, but only got his voicemail. So I picked up his blunt, which was on the desert floor and still burning. And I hit it a couple times, plucked and ate a handful of peyote, and sat down on a rock, watched the stars in the sky change colors, and for some reason thought of that episode of Who's the Boss, where Tony sees Angela naked in the shower. And that's the end of that piece.
Nuwamba Flamingo, everybody. The most recent 1 Million Writers Story South Awards nominee for fiction. Congratulations on that, sir, by the way.
Well, excuse me for that reading, man. That was a very bad reading, but it's hard to read a story about somebody fucking a goat when the person who actually fucked the goat is listening.
Listening to
difficult.
It. Yes. Well, I was going to say, difficult. You know, you probably would have gotten a better reception in Portland than I did reading that story.
Yeah. No, I think I would have gotten a much worse reception. I think I would have been beaten. I probably would have been beaten for that.
That story was actually published in Modus Operandi fanzine, issue number 20. Is it 21? I believe so.
I don't remember, but
I think
I'm actually surprised it was published. It was actually published anywhere.
We are talking about Modus Operandi here, so, you know.
Yeah, this is true, yes.
They published
it. I wouldn't have submitted that to anywhere else other than Modus Operandi.
Yeah. It's a badass magazine, and you guys should definitely check it out. Submit there. Give them all your Frankie Metro fucking animal stories. It is actually issue number 21. I'm looking at it right now, as a matter of fact.
Well, my internet actually went down, so I can't get on the internet, but for some reason Skype is working. It's very strange. Like, I can't get on the internet, but Skype is working.
That's because you're in the Draconian Vampire Tunnel, man. That's what happens.
Yeah, strange things happen there.
We get good reception here, man. You should come back every Tuesday with us, man. I don't know, or every Tuesday you can make it. Definitely appreciate you coming by.
Yeah, man, it's been fun. We've had a good time.
Yeah, man. Right on. I tell you what, Nuwamba, we're going to sign off for the night. How about that? And we'll let everybody know once again, you can go to the Meth Lab for all sorts of moral turpitude and hijinks. You guys can go to www.methlab.com. Is it methlab1234.blogspot.com? Is that right?
That's right. That's right. And we're going to do a show, aren't we?
We are.
The Meth Lab show, the first one in a while. And I got a new piece I'm going to read.
Uh-oh.
A new Nuwamba piece that I'm going to read. A new Nuwamba piece. So I haven't written much recently, but I have a new piece to read. I'm going to read on that show.
Fucking A, man. I might actually bring some new stuff as well, because I got some stuff hanging in the closet. You know what? I don't know. I feel like sharing one more. We got like 14 minutes left. I kind of feel like sharing one more. You want to hang out for like another few seconds? Or?
Yeah, man. Why don't you read something? Have you read anything? I don't think you've read the whole show.
No, I haven't, actually. And,
why don't you read something, man? How come you're making everybody else read? Why don't you read, man?
Yeah, exactly. All right, cool. Well, I'll tell you what. Let me pull this file up. I want to play this last song. This is Spiller with Crybaby, and then I'll be back, and I'll read something. How about that? Yeah.
Cool.
All right. Spiller, Crybaby. We'll be right back. Thank you. you have nagging symptoms and general feelings of malaise that just do not go away? Do you have allergies and other symptoms that are causing difficulties breathing and concentrating? Do you experience confusion and disorientation indoors but are generally okay outdoors? Do you believe maybe you have chronic fatigue syndrome, CFS, or fibromyalgia? Do you have lupus? Do you have asthma? How about leukemia? There's probably a mold connection. Mold is your health being jeopardized because of mycotoxins from mold. By Wendy Bodine, copyright 2005 and 2007, I had read about the overwhelming presence of mold in the cannabis found throughout the state. A lot of people chalked it up to the combination of dry climate and heavy snow, two things that for the most part seemed very contradictory to me, saying that the combination had turned a lot of indoor and outdoor operations into large airtight containers for the uncured. While PF packed a bowl at the end of the bed, swatting at the surrounding moss who veered for the flick of her beak, I contemplated how long it actually took for the secret stash at the Neverland Ranch to turn into a ball of mold resembling, according to authorities, chunks of heroin. And even though no other narcotics were found in MJ's bedroom, I thought about the idea that his secret supplier could have been the Prince of Pot, Mark Emery himself. I questioned why MJ would let the dankest BC buds go to waste in an air-compressed baggie tucked beneath his Emmanuel Lewis vanity pillow. I was angry with the King of Pot for wasting the Prince of Pot's generous deal, no doubt, seeing as how me, M.E., has always been considered a rather accessible and easygoing individual. I chastised the man with one silver glove for not being more supportive of such organizations as normal, for not being more open with his usage of medicinal marijuana, and for not sharing. Did you want to hit this, or were you going to stare into nothing all night? PF asked. I noticed a significant amount of drool had pooled at the edge of my mouth, and when I wiped, I couldn't remember for the life of me who or what I was thinking about before, but there was mold involved. That I was completely sure of, and I knew that someone had wronged myself and many others to boot. If you're not going to hit this, I am. My head's... Goddamn moss, where the fuck are they all coming from, and why are they here? PF flung the pipe to the floor. She searched the floor for an idle alibi, Free Weekly. I'm here for the mold, I replied, droning an almost indecipherable baritone that was completely foreign to me. It's in the weed. It's in the walls. Aspergillus is the most common mold. It is found in nature everywhere. A stroll through the park will bear the same result as inhalation. 15% moisture is required to grow and thrive. Kill it off before 14. Before we were to leave and meet up with Scales, first we needed to assess our capabilities. We could still stand and walk with little to no difficulty. We could understand each other without really speaking. We looked for the most part to be in a reasonable state of mind in regards to outward appearance. The longer we sat in our room, the more the latter cycle of our first acid binge turned towards paranoia. Wherever we were going, we needed to leave soon. Otherwise, the night would end on one of those vastly unbearable notes where silence is a placebic peacemaker. Anyone who has a substantial amount of experience with LSD will tell you that silence is really the mind killer. I grew even more weary of the prospect and became quite anxious while PF and myself rearranged the items on the table and contorted spastically to trip-hop and synth-pop. She had taped a picture of Oscar the Grouch onto the non-functional TV several hours earlier, somewhere around the initial peak, I suppose. When I caught myself transfixed on the green silhouette, his toothless smile and oversized tongue, I was immediately put off by the farce. I had never seen that snarky son-of-a-bitch's smile pop up from the lid of a trash can and offer me a crumble of tuna fish. But here he was, in the flesh, half-starved and holding a sign that said, "I heart picnics." Upon closer inspection, it wasn't a smile, but his usual condescending smirk that kept me fixated. I'd been completely unaware of the debris lying strewn about at the base of his receptacle, but now it was impossible to escape. Melon rinds and dead baby rats, vacant jam jars and posh moth-eaten sweaters, empty brown lunch bags and candy-coated rubber vaginas that you could fuck but not lick. Oscar loves picnics, and not just any picnic, but the picnics Albuquerque bums can't seem to afford. Although I made the accusations in my head, PF disagreed with me when I stated that Oscar was nothing more than an oversized clump of mold that had grown in the tuft of, say, Snuffleupagus testicles. She mocked my doubts by moving closer to the picture in a slow trot, daring me the entire way to touch it, or at the very least express my concerns with the Muppet personally. "Don't stand too close to me," I protested. "You'll get skin lesions or lesions or Asperger's syndrome from that monster and then will never be able to leave. I leaped inside the bathroom doorway and hid from the visage on the TV. I cowered beneath a wet towel draped across the rack on the back of the door. I peeked out to find PF tweaking areas where moldy Muppet nipples should be, and when I screamed in terror, she laughed the hardest. I could barely hear the Skype alert coming from her MacBook. And that's it. Nuwamba, that's it, Ben.
Yeah.